Hi, I'm Bradford Harris. I'm a coordinator of digital innovation in Houston, Texas for Aldean ISD, and I am a member of the EdTech Army.
Welcome to the Sons of Technology Clubhouse. Ditch your fear at the door. Take a risk and enjoy the ride with your hosts, Joe Marquez and Kyle Anderson.
Welcome, everybody, to another fantastic episode of the podcast by the Sons of Technology. And Kyle, the clubhouse here is a little bit light because, good Lord, the days and the weeks just seem to be moving slowly but packed full of everything, right? What do you think? What about you? You thinking that same thing?
The only thing I disagree with that is that the days are going by slowly. My days have been flying because they've been so packed. But you and I were talking about this before we hit record. I am fried right now, and if I sound a little off or I don't sound as passionate in this episode, I will be the first to tell you, I will straight up admit the last thing I want to do right now is record this podcast. And not because I don't want to talk to you, Joe, not because I'm not passionate about what we're going to talk about today, but just because I have been on my computer for no less than 40 hours this week. And my goal, we're recording this on Friday afternoon, my goal is that we get this done, we power through, we give the audience a great episode, and then this weekend, I do not intend to turn my computer on. And I may even put my phone into airplane mode, so I'm not checking Twitter or Facebook or anything, too. That's where I'm at, so I'm sure a lot of other people are there as well.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you're absolutely right. The days seem to be moving fast, but to me, they also seem to be moving slow because Tuesday hit and I thought it was Friday already. Right. I mean, Yeah. I mean, it's better to be Friday and think it's Tuesday, but yeah, Tuesday I was like, oh, it's Friday. No, there's a lot of days left. And you know, I've been talking to a lot of teachers. And of course there's so much anxiousness and anxiety, but excitement and hopefulness that all these emotions can really take a toll on our soul. Right? All these emotions of being excited and then being downtrodden and being happy for seeing our students and being sad that it's not in person, all of these up and down roller coaster emotions can really take a toll on our mental health. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. How can we maintain joyfulness, mental health during these days of zooming? And how can we help our students maintain excitement if they are in fact zooming each and every day on a schedule? So we're going to be talking about that today. But before, let's go ahead, Kyle, and introduce ourselves. So my name is Joe Marquez. I'm the Director of Academic Innovation for Q. I am a past educator, eighth grade science teacher, and innovator out of the Central Valley of California. And if you would like to follow me on the Twitters, you can find me at JoeMarquez70. And with me, my partner in innovation, my co-host who has been with me for the last 44 episodes, Kyle, please introduce yourself.
Kyle Anderson. I am a special education teacher in Las Vegas, Nevada. And you can find me on Twitter at AndersonEdTech. You can also find me on Instagram at AndersonEdTech, my blog, AndersonEdTech.net. And my book, something that our good friend Adam Juarez and Kat Goyette said the other night is very appropriate for the current situation, To the Edge, Successes and Failures Through Risk-Taking. You can find that on Amazon. You can find it on barnesandnoble.com. You can find it through EduMatch Publishing's website. And you get a nice little discount if you buy it in bulk from there, 20% off. And hashtag To the Edge EDU. If you want to interact with me in regards to the book a little bit. So I got to say, Joe, you're kind of off topic. I mean, right now is that you and I are both really into green screening some different backgrounds for Google Meet, Zoom, whatever it may be, just to kind of make things interesting. And that actually goes along with our workflow thing a little bit. We'll talk a little bit more. But right now, I am having a hard time not losing my mind over the virtual sunglasses, the aviator sunglasses that you've got on in our meeting right now. I'm really biting my tongue right now, not trying to lose it. This is great.
Well, you know that, I mean, you came in to this podcast a little bit, you know, tired and worn out, and you see these sunglasses and you're like, you know, that's kind of neat. That's kind of cool. These are the things that we need to be doing to our students, right? These are the things that get them to go, what the heck is Mr. Marquez doing, right? Or what is Mr. Anderson doing here? And these are things that can spark conversation, gain students' attention, and reinvigorate them halfway through the day. You know, and I got this idea of utilizing this application. Now, this isn't a Chrome app or this isn't a web app. This is an actual application you install on your machine. So this would not be available for Chromebooks. But the Snap Camera application, which is made by the Snapchat team. And by the way, it is not it is not the Snapchat app, so no social media component to this at all, but it allows a filter to be drawn over your face, just like you would on Snapchat. And I got the idea when we were doing an episode, I think 37 or 38 with Ben Cogswell. And we had Ben Cogswell on and he was doing puppets. And he was saying he bought these puppets off of Amazon and he uses these puppets to get the attention of his kindergartners, and the puppets become characters, and one puppet does math and another puppet does science, and it really gets the kids excited. And I was like, I wonder if we can use these Snap Camera filters to get students excited. So those of you listening at home, I'm going to describe what I'm going to be quote unquote wearing on my face. But those of you who are watching live on YouTube, you can actually see it. So I was saying, what if you are doing a lesson on space? You can just create a gallery of all the space helmets. You click the button and instantly you're wearing a space helmet. So talking about outer space, talking about the inner and outer planets, talking about going around the solar system, and you are wearing a helmet that is completely cartoon looking, by the way. It doesn't look real at all, but it follows your head. And then I was thinking, what if you're talking about medieval times and knights around the table? You put on your knight helmet instantly and you travel to medieval times. And what if you're talking about the Vikings? No, not the football team, the Vikings, but Vikings from North mythology. Well, not even mythology, from the Norse. You can be a part of that. So these are things that really get students excited. And actually, in the early days of me integrating technology in the classroom back in the early 2010s, I called these educational squirrels. These are things that you do as the educator to gain students' attention and pull it away from anything else that they are doing. And I got the idea from that movie Up, where that dog Doug would see a squirrel and no matter what was going on, he just paid attention to that squirrel. And I wanted that attention from my students. So doing these little educational squirrels, doing these things to drag their attention towards you is really important. And so I thought, hey, why not in the digital realm create a character or create a facade like you could do in a normal classroom? So it's been working really well.
Now with this Snap Camera, is this something, do you have to have an account with Snapchat in order to use it?
No, there's no account. There's no anything. It's basically you download the program, you install it on your computer, and then you attach it to one of your cameras. Say, I want to attach it to my FaceTime camera on my Mac, or I want to attach it to my Logitech camera. And then when you're in a Zoom or a Google Meet or a Microsoft Teams room, the camera you choose is called Snap Camera. And so I'm talking to you right here off of the Zoom, and then off to the left side on my other screen. And by the way, we're going to be talking about multiple screen setups here later on in the broadcast. I have another screen off to the side that actually gives me a menu that I selected on different things that I like to do. Like, Kyle, don't you wish some days you could have multiples of yourself to complete multiple things?
Oh, I absolutely wish I could do that. So
yeah, well, there we go. Now there's multiple Joes right here in the camera. I just split myself off into three, and now I can be doing three things at once. Not really. Another very freaky one is, let's say that you're talking about biology. So you have if I'm a male, of course. So what would I look like if my genetics were a little bit split, and I were a female? So there we go. There is Joe Marquez as a female. And Kyle, you know, the funny thing about this one is I look just like my sister. Not a little bit like her. I mean, I look at this and I go, that is my sister, Ashley. And I see her in my face. So it's very strange at how they can actually pull off the idea of your identical twin just using a filter. They're just fun. Fun all the way around.
I like the one that you've pulled out a couple times where you have a beard normally, but then you do where you do not have facial hair and it makes you look like you're about 14 years old, which is really funny too. And he is doing it right now. So yeah. Yes, now I'm looking at 14-year-old Joe. So now this also, which is really cool, is it doesn't require a green screen because right now you're just sitting in your office and I'm looking at all your Funko Pops and your sports memorabilia on the wall behind you. It doesn't require any of that. It just does it using that snap camera lens, quote unquote. So now you've got a cat sitting on top of your head. So
yeah. And here's the fun thing about this though, is that they open up this API. They open up how to do this to the general public. So there is an actual lens studio you can also download and they give you projects that you can actually make. So they go, here's a hat, add a logo. Here's a face, add some attributes. So they give you these projects halfway made and you learn how to code it to become a filter and you can actually embed it into this. So I thought, how awesome would it be if that was an actual project you had for your students? Now, the caveat to this is they would have to have a machine that can download applications. So Chromebooks and tablets are out. But also you absolutely want to get parent permission for students to ask students to download these products on their own personal or school devices. But again, imagine if they learn how to use these filters. This is an AI program, right? An AR, augmented reality program that students can actually build themselves through a easy to follow process. I mean, I was like, man, if I was back in my exploring technology class, I would make this into a unit. I find it extremely fascinating.
Yeah, and very similar to the Snap camera, I've been using a program as of late that is called OBS. Open Broadcasting System is essentially what it is. It was something that was created by gamers. So they could be playing games while video streaming themselves, but showing themselves on the screen along with the game as they're playing along with it. So it was a way to broadcast that to things like YouTube or Twitch or something like that. So what I've been doing with this is that I've been using it as a program to give myself an interesting looking background on Google Meet. So if you've used Zoom, you've already kind of got this function built in. There's the virtual backgrounds in Zoom, and it works a lot better in Zoom if you have a green screen. But if you don't have a green screen, you could still do it as long as you have a relatively one color wall behind you without a lot of other things going on with it. So, and I never was able to get it to work with that. So I went out and I bought a green screen. I mean, I think I paid $13 on Amazon for a 5 foot by 7 foot. I'm not sure what the material is. It feels like felt a little bit, but I have it hung up on my wall now. So I have a green screen behind me. And if you're watching on the YouTube live stream right now, I can actually turn it off real quick and just kind of show you that I don't have anything back there except for that green wall. That's all that's there. So, and then when I turn it back on, I've got our Sons of Technology logo that's there for Zoom. But unfortunately, I'm not able to use Zoom in my school district. We have to use Google Meet, and Google Meet does not have that capability unless you use this OBS Studio software. So if you go, basically you just Google it, OBS, and it's a download. And you download this program to where you'll be able to broadcast a background, you'll be able to record from it, do different things like that. There's also a virtual camera piece that you got to download as well. So this is not exactly an easy thing to do. It took a lot of YouTube videos and articles on the web for me to figure out how to use this thing effectively. And I've actually had a couple teachers at my school ask me, hey, can you help me set up how to do these Google Meet backgrounds? And my answer is yes, I can. However, this is kind of complicated. I'm not sure how much time we have for that right now. So I actually haven't had a chance to help them yet, but I use, depending on the day, I've got different backgrounds for my classes. I have one of sunrise over Lake Tahoe. I have another one of, well, I've got my Sons of Technology one. I don't know if I've used that one with my students yet. I've got a Vegas Golden Knights logo that I stick behind me on game days for the background. And then I've got a few other ones as well. So one cool thing also in there is that you can actually do looping video for your background to where it could make it look like you're sitting, say, on a park bench and there's people walking by behind you. Or my favorite, one of the videos that I watched learning how to use the OBS software was he had set up a looping video where it was a glass door behind him and then it was zombies trying to get through the glass to get to him. So I thought that one was really cool too. So, but on the very first day of school, I'm all virtual. I had kids ask me like, look at that background. Like, well, where is that? So I had my Lake Tahoe one up. Where is that background? How did you do that? And I tell them, I'm like, well, it's something that's pretty complicated and you can't do it on your Chromebook, unfortunately. So yeah, if you have a Windows machine or if you have a Mac, you can download this. Again, just Google OBS software and you'll find it. And then it's a real easy download. And then there's different instructions and tutorial videos on YouTube out there that'll show you how to do this to where you have to set up the chroma key for the green screen and add the images. The only issue I've come across is that sometimes if I try to use my integrated webcam and my OBS camera is on, it'll then basically break the virtual webcam and OBS. I have to set up the chroma key again. But now that I know how to do it, it's a 15-second fix compared to the 30 minutes took me to set it up the first time. So yeah, it's a pretty cool program. So, and it gives you those backgrounds in Google Meet that make it a little bit more fun.
Yeah. And Kyle, people may be asking, how is this sparking joy? Or how is this doing that? I thought this episode was about getting it, because it sparks off a conversation with students and you actually can incorporate content as your background. If you're a history teacher, boom, you have a scene from a historical event that you're talking about and ask the kids, what do you think about this, right? You can do emotion tests. What is this picture? How does this picture resonate with you? What do you think about when you see this picture? It can spark conversation at the beginning of the class. So on the surface, it just seems like a fun activity, which, by the way, to break up the monotony of Zooms from one class to the other, this can be a great way to do that. You can actually functionally incorporate it into your teaching, into your pedagogical approach, by using it as an artifact of learning and sparking that interest all the way around. That's what I see with this. And yes, OBS is a little bit complicated. But Kyle, didn't it bring you joy when you started figuring things out? Didn't it bring you joy when you finally got something to work? Sometimes we need puzzles and things that are not education related, really, to have some successful wins in our minds. And so I think you did such a good job with this. I want to know from you how that OBS works. So, I mean, it's a great thing.
Yeah, I might have to, at one of these points, just make a YouTube video on the absolute basics of it, because like I said, this is not for the faint of heart. I mean, I'm very tech savvy and this took me 2 hours to fully figure out and get off the ground. But if I can somehow figure out how to create a 5-minute video that can give you the absolute basics on how to do this, I will gladly do that. I just need to find the time to do so right now because everything is just so wild and crazy. And then another thing that is really a benefit of this too, is that my district kind of put it out that they want teachers especially to be very careful about what students are seeing on camera in wherever your location is that you're working from. So we're all virtual. So I'm working from home and the best place for me to work from is in my room. And that's something that my district said, you know, we're not really sure. We really want you showing kids your bedroom or something like that. So I was able to make my space that I'm working with where you're not going to be able to see anything in my room. And then if I don't have my OBS camera going, it's just the green screen behind me now. So, but that OBS system can now hide where you're working from to make it a little bit more interesting, like we already mentioned, but also to satisfy those above you that want you to not show off where you were working from, and now I'm losing my mind because of the filter he just put on. Joe is now the gingerbread man.
Well, you know, one of the things that I think is really cool about using these backgrounds, and I think Google Meet is going to be coming out with the ability to have those green screen backgrounds, is for students to feel more comfortable on their webcam, right? Because right now I do hear a lot of schools asking their students to really have their faces or webcams turned on in order to be counted for attendance. But if they don't like the background of their house, or they can't find a secluded place in the house to have their camera on, or family members keep walking behind and act goofy like brothers and sisters do, they may not feel comfortable doing that. But when you have a background up, you may feel a little bit more confident to join in and have your cameras on. So this is another thing. And also you can play games, right? It's like, hey, next time we meet, I want you to have your favorite cartoon character up in the background. Well, back in the 80s, that would be nice. But now with Rick and Morty and all those other ones, that might be another kind of conversation to have. But you could have them, you know, show and tell in the background. Show us your favorite color. Show us your favorite location. Show us your favorite this or favorite that. You can turn it into an event every single day for your students. And I think that is a really important thing, because you cannot have the same thing over and over and over every single day. Show up. I teach you. Show up. We work. Show up. There has to be some fun little nuggets of unexpectability, of unexpected expectations that can occur with this technology.
Well, now that you mentioned cartoon characters, in celebration of Thundercats being available on Hulu now, I think I need to make a Thundercats background for my OBS camera. So I introduced that show to my five-year-old, and he's really liking it. His favorite character so far is Snarf, which is, you know, it's hard to not like Snarf. So Joe, let's kind of shift gears a little bit and talk a little bit about the multi-display setup that's going to improve your workflow and just make life easier for you as well.
Yeah, one of the biggest roadblocks and frustrations that I have heard from educators these last 2 weeks is, how do you run a Zoom and see your students and know what you're sharing and do this and do that just on your laptop? And my response is, you don't. You can't really. You can try and split your screen where you have some students on one side and what you're showing on the other, but it's going to really strain you to have a good presentation if you're doing that. You need to have at least one external monitor. You have to. That's a difficult thing for me to say, because educators already spend a whole bunch of money of their own out of their own pocket. And for me to say, oh, just spend another $80 and buy yourself an external monitor, that might not necessarily be the easiest thing for somebody to swallow, but it will make your life so much darn easier. I mean, if your administrator is asking you, hey, what can we do to help you? Please get me another monitor. I think that's something you should say. But for my setup, I use my laptop as just my auxiliary monitor. So this is where messages pop up. This is where, if I'm doing a Zoom or a Google Meet, this is where my students' faces are. That's on my computer laptop monitor. And then on the monitor I have in front of me, which is a 27-inch flat screen monitor, this is where I do my actual presenting. This is where I actually have things ready to go and what I'm sharing with my students. And then if you really want to go crazy, I have a third monitor off to my left, which is like my staging area. It's the next thing I want to show my students that I just have to drag and drop. It's where I have some other little actions that I have. This is where I have my snap camera filters ready to go, clicking back and forth. So it makes life so much easier. And nowadays with plug and play, you can go right into the monitor setup and move the monitors around to make it fit exactly where you want your mouse to go. But if you don't have those, it can be a very, very difficult time teaching from home.
For sure. I know one of the first things I wanted to do when I knew that I was going to be full virtual was I knew I needed to have a second monitor, because I struggled through and powered through that last couple months of the previous school year with one laptop. And then I normally would, if I needed the second screen, I would open a second laptop or my Chromebook or my iPad or something like that. But I knew I needed to have something where it was going to be there at all times. So when I was building my space, I got the desk free, by the way, because when I moved into my new house, a friend of ours, they were getting rid of a desk and they said, here, take this thing off my hands. So that was nice. So then I'm looking around for a monitor, And another friend said, you know, I got a couple of spare monitors in my garage. I don't think they have connectors for them, so you have to buy those. But so I got a 27-inch flat screen monitor where I had to spend $10 on the power cord and then another $10 for the dongle to make it VGA to HDMI. So $20 for my monitor, essentially what it was. And I worked with that for the last couple of months where I had it connected to my laptop and then I had my second monitor off to the left. And then I like to do the bulk of my work on that second monitor because it is bigger. Okay, it's a lot bigger than the 17-inch screen that I have on my laptop. But then what I found myself doing was not only was I getting the eye strain from just staring at the screen so much, but I was also getting neck pain because the monitor was down at desk level and I was looking down and kind of hunched over to look at my monitors all the time. So then I went on Amazon and I found for $25 a metal pedestal essentially for the monitor. So now the monitor's sitting up on a pedestal and there's actually a shelf below where the monitor sits. So now I've got my Chromebook and I've got my iPad on that little shelf at the ready in case I need that. And I mean, just in general too, it just freed up room on my desk by putting that pedestal there because my Chromebook and my iPad were there, but they were taking up space on a different part of the desk. Now I've got more space on my desk. I've got my monitor at eye level right here. I'm still doing work on my laptop, which is down more at desk level. So, I mean, there are still times where I'm hunching and bending my neck in places where I shouldn't, but, and now having this second monitor, having the pedestal, now I'm already planning the third monitor where getting a second pedestal, getting that third monitor and having that set up to where now the laptop would be down in the middle. That would be the control center. And then bulk of my work would be done on these two monitors here. So that way the bulk of my work is going to be at eye level and my posture is going to be a lot better. My neck's not going to hurt or anything like that. So you and I were joking at one point that I said, I want my desk area to look like NORAD by the time we're done, where I got just monitors everywhere. And then I've got a printer that's kind of off across the room a little bit, a cloud printer where if I need to print something, boom, there it is. I got multiple power sources connected in the wall behind me to where if I need to charge my phone, charge my iPad, Chromebook, whatever it may be, I've got all that. I've even got a rechargeable battery set up from Amazon right now with AAA batteries on there in case I need AAA batteries for something. So I've got a really great setup now and virtual learning as a result has not been that terrible because I've got a great setup. So, but again, there are a lot of teachers out there that they don't have that luxury of that space and kids especially don't have that. So, but if you have the luxury to be able to do this, do it. And some great places to find these things, Amazon, you can find inexpensive monitors there, but even then they can still get a little bit pricey. The one place that I've been looking for and I'm finding things every now and then is Facebook Marketplace. Check your local area or something like Craigslist where somebody may have that spare monitor. They just want to get off their hands, maybe give it away or get rid of it for $20 or something like that. So check the Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist, some of those local things like that. You might be able to find some of these things.
Yeah, and don't forget, everybody, it doesn't have to be a computer monitor. Anything with an HDMI input will be fantastic. I mean, if you're looking for another TV for your house, I mean, Amazon has TV sales all the time. I mean, I saw a 47-inch TLC Roku TV the other day for like $143 for a 47-inch smart TV that can be doubled as a monitor if you wanted it to. And that can be even farther away. You can have your main one here and then mount it on your wall and you have an easy monitor right there and that can double as a TV for a spare bedroom or your office later on down the line. So these are things that can be used even after the fact when you return back to the classroom.
Yeah, I think Adam Juarez has a 65-inch set up either in his home office or in his school office that he is using as a monitor. So a lot of people, the bigger the TV, the better. Okay, in Adam's case, the bigger the monitor for the computer, even better. So, but yeah, as long as it has that HDMI set up to where you can plug it in to the computer, you're all set with that there. So I know there's some people, I mean, you could still do the Google Cast thing, but that tends to lag a little bit. I have a Chromecast where sometimes I'll take stuff from my Chromebook and then cast it to the TV, but there is some lag when you're doing that. So it's better if you can have a direct connection through an HDMI cable in order to do something like that.
Yeah, I agree. Now, Now, Kyle, so these are some really good tips to get to make sure that you don't go crazy, right? The whole thing is we need to be able to be comfortable in this situation. And if you're working from home, you need to be very comfortable. You because your workspace has to look like work. And one of the things about working from home is that you can tend to get into, oh, it's just my home. It's just temporary. I'm just going to do the bare minimum and just get through it. But if the bare minimum and just getting through it starts dragging into October, November, December, January, you're going to really start wishing you changed up early. So definitely if you're having a tough time with your Zooms and your Google Meets, please definitely look into getting that secondary or tertiary monitor so that you can have a better experience. Because when you're not frustrated, you tend to be happier and more jovial in front of your students.
And while we're on that as well, having a good chair is something that is something you should look into getting as well. So I think I started out with just like a folding chair or something like that. It was a padded folding chair, but it didn't slide out from the desk or anything like that. And sitting on it, just, it got cumbersome after a while. So I went and found an office chair that's padded. It rotates, it's on wheels. So, and again, I found this one on Amazon. I think I spent $60 on it. So probably not the highest of quality of chairs, but for what I spent on it, it's doing all right for me now. And if you want to spend a little bit more money, you can probably get some more that have like a headrest up behind it or whatever. Mine doesn't have the headrest. It just has the backrest, but everything's padded. And I'm a lot more comfortable working behind my desk because I have a decent chair.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you know, some of us like my office is the smallest bedroom in our house, right? With the girls' room and their playroom are the biggest. We have our master bedroom, of course. This is like the smallest bedroom. So I have to use things that are multi-purpose in this room. So you know what I did, Kyle? I actually got a workout bench, a padded flat workout bench. And that is my seat. That's what I'm sitting on right now. And what I do to, you know, in between Zoom calls, in between meetings, I'll just lay back and I have my dumbbells sitting right here. And so in between meetings, I'll just sit here and I'll do some curls. I'll do some tries. I'll do some buys. And then these things are neat. I bought these like 10 years ago, maybe even 11 years ago. These are Bowflex Select Tech. So they go up to 90 pounds and all you do is turn this little dial and it turns it into that weight. Super easy. So it takes up just a little bit of room in here, but now I can get some workouts in between. Because people, if all you're doing is sitting and Zooming all day long, it is not gonna be good for you. Teachers are not sit and get people. Think about, Kyle, when you're in the classroom, do you ever just sit at your desk or are you walking around, talking to kids, moving around, roaming the room? That's what a teacher does. A teacher is used to, just by their profession, used to getting 10,000 steps in a day on average, just used to, just by moving around and being a teacher. You know how many steps I get in a day sitting just here on this desk? Under 2,000. Under 2000, that is horrible. That is not good. So we have to find ways to get our blood flowing, get our juices flowing, take a pause from the screen. I'll tell you, one of our Sons of Technology members, Bradford Harris, you know what he does? He sets in his calendar 1 hour and 15 minutes of lunch recess. And what he does is he takes his phone, he puts in his AirPods or whatever he uses to listen, and he does any lunch meetings on a walk. He'll walk around his neighborhood. He'll walk through the park. He'll be on his meetings. And he just let everybody know, during this time, I'm not going to be on a Zoom. I'm going to call in on the phone line and I'm going to talk to you here and I'm going to be available through that phone line, but I'm going to get my exercise. I'm going to get my steps in because I cannot just sit at a desk all day. And so I think teachers, in order for you to be happy, to get that blood flowing, to get a little bit of vitamin D outside where you're at, you need to get up out of your seat and find a way to get outside, whether it's in the morning before classes or in the middle of classes. Because Kyle, at the end of classes, you don't want to go outside and walk. You don't want to go outside and work out. No. You're tired. So you have to do it before that 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock bell hits.
Yeah, and on top of that, not only is you're just going to be better off, you're just getting around and moving, but the eye strain really can start taking a toll as well. So I know once my professional development training started and I was sitting in front of the computer for about 8 hours, what I was starting to realize was how many headaches I was getting. It was almost a nightly thing that I was getting a headache. And it took me a couple of days to figure it out that it was just from staring at the screen so much. So now I purposely make sure that every hour at absolute most, I get up, I walk around and just get away from a screen for 10 to 15 minutes just to get, so I'm not looking at that screen and focusing on that and just causing that eye strain. So I've heard a lot of people talking too about your eye doctor can make you glasses that have the blue light reducers in them now. So, and I actually, when my daughter, she had to get glasses a while back, we got that for her. So when she's working on the computer, that blue light is cut down for her. So my glasses don't have that, but I know there's different places where you can buy, like, for example, almost like sunglasses, except they're for blue light, or you can buy clips for your glasses that you clip onto the front of them to cut that down as well. So that's something I have not done yet, but I am interested in looking to maybe get some of those and just testing them out to see. So, and I'm sure it's one of those deals where if you skimp out and go cheap on them, that's just not going to be very effective. But I'm going to take a look at it a little bit. So right now I just got brand new glasses here in the last 6 months or so. And I wish I would have gotten that blue light reducer, but at the same time, this was pre-COVID. So I didn't realize I was going to be on the computer as much as I was going to be when I got new glasses, because otherwise I would have sprung for the blue light reducer. And I remember the conversation with my eye doctor and then my daughter's eye doctor when we got it for her. It's not cheap to add that to your glasses, but ultimately I'm starting to hear from people that it's worth it in the long run, especially if you're going to be at your computer so much.
I think they sell gamer sunglasses for that same exact reason, because you're staring at the screen all day long. So I think they sell gamer sunglasses on Amazon. So you might want to take a look for those. I don't know how much they cost, but I think those could be a good option. Some other things that we've done with students, even in a face-to-face class, that can be really important and beneficial for the kids too, are some of those Chrome extensions that remind you to get up and move it. Like, well, the Move It extension, right? When if you go onto your Chrome and do this Move It extension, it'll notice how long you're on the computer, and then it'll bring up a big pink screen that says get up and do 5 jumping jacks, just to remind you to get up and move. Get up and do 5 push-ups. This could be a really good reminder to you that you've been sitting too long. This is a good reminder to get that blood flowing. So that's a good one. There's another good one in the Chrome Web Store called Desk Athlete that'll kind of do the same thing in a little bit more strenuous exercises, but it'll help you do that. And then there's another one that'll help you exercise your brain, little brain puzzles and stuff. But there's a lot of cool ones that you can get right out of the Chrome Store, and it's really highly beneficial. Because if you start working and you start staring at the screen, or you're Zooming with kids all day long, you can look up and you thought it was 8 and it's already 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Time goes by that fast on the computer. So you need these constant reminders. Like my watch, I have a Samsung Sport, and if I'm sitting for more than 45 minutes, it buzzes. And of course says, don't you want to get up? You should do 5 lunges. You should do 5 of this. These reminders are really important to us, especially during this time, but also for our kids, right? Kyle, we said earlier on that teachers are used to walking around and roaming around. Kids are too. They're used to walking to their next class, walking upstairs to the second floor, walking here, walking there, walking to practice, walking, walking, walking. And if they're just Zooming all day, they're not getting outside. They're not getting that exercise. That could be detrimental to them. So highly recommend you get that Move It extension, or ask your IT department, see if they can push it out to your students' Chrome devices, because it can be very, very beneficial.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. So we've talked about quite a few really great things in order to make your workflow, regardless of how you are working right now, just to make life a little bit smoother and a little bit easier. So Joe, what other tips do we have right now?
I think quick little moments of happiness during your sessions with your kids can be very important. I'm imagining right now that movie Caddyshack, right? You remember Caddyshack? So Rodney Dangerfield is going down the fairway, and one of the caddies says something, and he goes, "So what?" And the caddy goes, "So what?" He goes, "So what? Let's dance!" And they just start singing and dancing. In the middle of your lesson, you should say, "Kids, guess what?" And you hit that button and just play a song and tell everybody to get up and dance. Just do it. I think that's very important to get these kids to just be excited and happy. It doesn't always have to be constant teaching the entire time. And I think we talked about that a little bit last time. It's these first 2 weeks should really just be building and bonding, building community between the students, and then, you know, throwing some things in. But these first 2 weeks just really need to hone in on the kids getting to know you and know each other and be comfortable talking and speaking in this digital environment. So that's something I really encourage educators out there to do, just those quick dance game breaks.
Yeah, I'd have something very similar. I have an app on my phone called Dad Jokes, and it has over 1,000 just ridiculous, stupid jokes. And kids, no matter how much they groan, no matter how much they roll their eyes, they really do truly love these jokes. So I have found in one of my classes already, as soon as I come into the Google Meet, there's somebody waiting there, is either typed in the chat or is unmuting their mic and saying, "Hey, Anderson, tell us a dad joke." So I have to pull out my phone, and then I come up with a gem like this one. The shovel was a groundbreaking invention. Okay, good stuff right there. So another one, the least spoken language in the world, sign language. You know, just dumb jokes like that that are absolutely hilarious. And on, oh, here's another classic. Why didn't the skeleton cross the road? Because he had no guts. So breaking up class with something dumb like that from a free app called Dad Jokes is something that you could do that really just kind of like brightens things up and makes people laugh a little bit too.
No, I love that. I love because you know, we're not here to entertain the kids, but we're here to give them a great experience. And sometimes to be relevant, you have to be a little bit goofy and corny and a little bit of that kind of entertainer. You know, one thing that I used to love doing in science would be to grab some pop culture clips and play them before a lesson. And the kids wouldn't really know how it connected until we started talking about the story of the lesson. So like one of them, and people are probably cringing when I say this, but I played a clip from South Park in my classroom. And the clip was at one of the kids' birthday parties. I think it was Kyle. He had a birthday party and everybody was giving him a present. And so Kyle would open up a present and then Cartman goes, "Mom, where's mine?" And so the mom would pull out a present and give it to Cartman, and people are like, what's going on? And the mom's like, "Well, whenever somebody gets a present, Cartman has to get one too." And so we were talking about it, and by the end of class, we talked about that clip again, and we related it to Newton's third law. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. And so we called it the Cartman law. So I would tell them, whenever you're asked about what law is, every action has an equal and opposite reaction, say Cartman law, but instantly say three, because that's the third law. And nobody missed that question on any of the tests because we made it relevant. And so if you're looking for things like that, there's a great website called ClassHooks. ClassHooks does a really good job where you can type in your subject and your grade level, and it will bring up all the different clips that could correspond with your lessons. So it's just a great way to do an introductory topic and a great way to do a brain break with pop culture references.
You're not the only one to have used South Park in class, because I used to teach government. So many of the episodes of South Park would kind of parody different current events going on in the country. So while I didn't necessarily show the clips in class, because again, South Park can be a pretty vile show every now and then, I would use the examples from the show just to kind of either introduce the topic in question for the day, or to just kind of spark a funny conversation about it. Because I mean, I don't know how many kids are still watching South Park. It is still on. But 10, 12 years ago, there still were quite a few kids, especially high school kids, that were watching it. So it did spark some pretty lively conversations. And the same with Family Guy. I used to use that a little bit too, because they used to poke at some different current events kind of things as well. So you know, it was a great way to hook the kids and kind of get them going in to really take sometimes some very tough to understand concepts on the surface and make them a little bit more accessible. So, and that's kind of where I'm at with Hamilton. Well, I'm going to be absolutely just crucified left and right for saying this. I could not get into Hamilton. Okay. I watched it, could not get into it. However, I understand why so many people like it. It is definitely catchy, but the thing I admire the most about Hamilton is that it took the life of Alexander Hamilton, something that I guarantee 98% of people would have never cared about, and made it accessible. So if you can somehow Hamiltonize your lessons by doing something like that, I highly recommend you do that, especially in this virtual environment that so many of us are in.
Well, you know, there's a really great product that Nearpod purchased about a year ago called Flowcabulary. And Flowcabulary goes out and puts to song, a lot of them in rap form, different concepts for students to understand. Well, and while some of them may not be that great, there are some really good catchy ones out there that really truly teach the kids some really amazing topics. So Flowcabulary is a great thing right now. If you're trying to get interest and little hooks, that's something you should definitely take a look at. And Kyle, you know, I told my wife that I know very well about Alexander Hamilton before this came out. And she goes, how? I go, milk. She goes, what do you mean? I go, back in the 90s, there was a milk commercial, right, where the guy was taking a big bite of a peanut butter sandwich. And he was the curator of the Alexander Hamilton Museum. And he was listening to the radio and it said, who shot Alexander Hamilton in that famous duel? And he calls and he has the answer and he can't understand him because his mouth is full of peanut butter. He can't find his milk. And he's like, no. And I just remembered that my entire life. So whenever anybody asks, who shot Alexander Hamilton? Aaron Burr. Aaron Burr. I know that because of pop culture, because they put it in the easy but funny to remember environment. And I thought to myself when I was a teacher, I said, I'm going to do that as much as possible. I'm going to create a memorable experience so the kids remember it, not just memorize it. And so I love that you mentioned Alexander Hamilton because it brings me back to my roots and why I wanted to start teaching memorably. And it was because of that milk commercial.
I remember that milk commercial very distinctly. So you and I are pretty much the same age. So it was on, you know, we were the same age when it was on. So yeah, I definitely remember that one. So now, Joe, we were talking before we recorded that we were going to be a little bit shorter today just because we are so fried and our listeners are probably fried too. And the last thing they want to do is power through over an hour of bantering this time around because they want to take a rest too. So do we have any last minute tips or tools or anything that we want to touch on before we start wrapping things up?
Yeah, you know, the last thing that I think that we need to mention is one of our fellow Byte Club EdTech Army members, Ed Campos. He's been doing a lot of Zoom meetings, and he started doing something that it's really neat, and I think you should really do this, and he would break people off into their breakout rooms in Zoom, but each room had a number, so he would assign them to that number in Google Slides. So a slide one would be breakout one, slide two, and he would have them all be doing an activity so he can actually monitor every room without being in every room. And if he noticed that one slide wasn't getting populated as much as the rest, he would jump into that breakout room and see if the group needed help. So that is a really great way to really hack Zoom right there. One of the things that I started doing is I put a big red help button in each slide. And so if the students needed help, they would drag that over their slide and I can instantly see if a room needed help. And I jump in there to help them by them dragging that big red button over there. So just a great way to break students off into groups and be able to monitor it in an easy, easy fashion.
Yeah, last one I'll touch on involves Google Meet, since that's what we're using in my district. And if you're in a Google Classroom district, you have the ability within Google Classroom to create that Google Meet where it's the same link and it's accessible only to those students in that class, which is a really nice feature because last thing you want is people meet bombing your meeting instead of Zoom bombing it. So, but the one thing that becomes a problem for my district is that we're not using Google Classroom, we're using Canvas. So it's a little bit more difficult to create a Meet link that is one that the kids are going to have access to all the time, and yet still be able to limit people to not being able to bomb it and whatnot. So, and the workaround that we found with that is that what you can do is actually create a nickname for a Google Meet, and it's going to create a brand new Meet URL every single time. So when you go to Google Meet, there's going to be a little box that says join or create a meeting. And there you're going to create a nickname meeting. So my district, they wanted us to use our name, our subject, and then our school code. We have a 3-digit school code. So now what we do, we just tell the students, you need to go to Google Meet and then go type in our nickname into that box. And then it's going to bring them to our meeting. So now they're not going to be able to get in unless the teacher's there and has started it. And then once the meeting's done and the teacher has everybody out of the room and closes out, that URL is dead. Okay. It's no longer available. So then, and then the next time, a couple days later, when you have your meeting again, teacher's sitting there waiting and they just type in that nickname. And now they're in your meet and it's a brand new URL. So students can't say, give that URL to their buddies across town and say, hey, why don't you come bomb my meeting later on? Because it's going to be a new URL a couple days later. And then another workaround that's really cool for that is that, now this one makes it to where more people could access it, but it could be easier, especially for littles to remember it, is that you could take that nickname that you created. So for, again, for me, like Anderson, special ed, and then our school code, then you can take and make the URL g.co/meet/your-nickname. And now you have a URL that, and again, it's going to create a brand new one every time you access it. So that's kind of my last minute thing.
No, and that's good, because I remember at the beginning of this crisis, people were using Google Meet and they would start a meet and then the teacher would leave and the kids would hang out, or the teacher would wait for everybody to leave. Then the teacher would leave and the kid would jump right back on in. And that caused some issues. So I love that that little tip, because that can really reassure teachers that their rooms are secure and the link does go away, but the password or the nickname does not. So that's really good, Kyle. I appreciate that. And teachers, we just really want to say how much we appreciate you. I was talking to some teachers the other day and just saying, you know, how much I appreciated them and all the hard work they're putting in. And they said, you know what, Joe? We appreciate that, because nobody has told us that. Nobody has told us that they appreciate the hard work. Nobody's told us how much they appreciate what we've done. And that flabbergasted me, because administrators should be saying thank you so much to you every single day. Parents should be saying thank you so much to you every single day. And we know right now that's not what is happening. Right now, teachers are being blamed for things that they don't need to be blamed for. Teachers maybe being celebrated by some, but not by others. And right now, I want to tell you, teachers, that you mean the world to me. You mean the world to me and Kyle, and we thank you for all the hard work and determination that you do on a daily basis. And whether you're in a classroom or a class Zoom, you are mentors, you are scholars, you are friends, and you are changing the world one bite at a time. And I just want to say thank you. And if your week started last week or the week before and you are burnt out, you deserve to be burnt out. But you also deserve to ignite that fire again this weekend, refresh yourself, and get going again next week. And if some of the tips that Kyle and I have given you can really help kindle that flame and take you through the week, we hope that you can share that out on the socials and tag us at Sons of Tech EDU on Twitter, or send a message to Kyle or myself. And if you listen to this podcast and you like what we say and you feel you are bonded to us like we feel we are bonded to you, please record our Flipgrid and tell us that you are now a member of the EdTech Army. But we just want to say, and I know Kyle wants to say it as well, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you for what you do, and thank you for who you are. And thank you for choosing to be a teacher, because teachers change the world. I'm Joe Marquez with my innovative partner, Kyle Anderson, and we say, God bless you. Have a great weekend. And go get them. Thank you very much.